Next up on here.
Isn't it about time for a change? We are nationalleader.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area. I'm going to ask all of you to go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860. And if you live outside of Philadelphia or the tri-state area, remember you can listen on the internet from anywhere in the USA and anywhere in the world. I want to thank everyone that is contacting others about our broadcast and our mission, because I will tell you, we are starting to move in the right direction. Now, if you received that email this morning announcing today's broadcast, email it to another person now, or make sure that you email them the broadcast later this afternoon when that gets sent out. Our family of listeners continues to grow, and I want to say thank you at this very special time of year as we prepare for Christmas and the new year, and we're going to have some discussions on what we're going to do in the new year. I want to say thank you to our panel members, Mark Andel, who I often hear remarks about in my travels. He, as you know, he's the founder of the Made in America store. And boy, I'll tell you, what a guy, Mark. We're going to talk about some of your efforts during today's broadcast. And Larkin Connolly, you can see all their smiling faces up on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Larkin Connolly is well known for his opinions, and he loves to travel around. Oh, Lord, does that guy love to travel around. Larkin, thank you again for all of your help. And I want you to know they are paid very heavily, zero. And Rich Logis as well, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And boy, I'll tell you, Rich's technology has really put him in another state at times, putting the whip down the way we really like it here. And we're going to ask you to do that today, Rich, because there's a lot of things in the news we have to discuss. And I'll tell you why we have to discuss them. Also, I want to say thank you to Henry Chaplinsky. What a guy. He's the guy who really keeps the thing on pace, makes sure that the things get out to everybody, makes sure all the broadcasts are, you know, on the net. He makes sure that the broadcast is 100% on time, and, you know, the way when it goes out to our rebroadcast, the people are able to send it out to their family and friends. The message is really getting out there, and I can't thank everybody enough. Now, you know, we have many difficulties in the world. I have a little bit of a sore throat today, so please bear with me. But I want to say this to you. We have a lot of difficulties in the world, and we're doing our best to address them. Many people say, how could we do more to address it? And I say, well, if we could get businesses together, national leaders together, local leaders together, and also the union people, the store, little stores, the big stores, get everybody together on one sheet of music, we may have great things happening in the year 2016. I'm predicting that, and that's going to be our theme for 2016. I just want to say one more thing, and I'll be out at the events this weekend, and I'm looking forward. We have a big event on Sunday. We have hundreds and hundreds of people coming to that. I'll be meeting everyone. Thank you for supporting our efforts. But I want to say that in my travels, people often tell me that for years, every item that they picked up was clearly listed as made in America. As time went on, they just thought that this brand name product is made in America. So what is the concern? Until they started looking closely at the packaging, as Mark Andel has been doing for a long time, looking at the packaging, getting authentication. Today, the packaging says distributed by, with the name of the business's American headquarters in larger print. However, when you look closer at the smaller print, you see exactly where the products are made. And that's the thing that I'm very pleased that is happening as a result of this broadcast. And I want to thank people like David Muir and some of the other 20 broadcasters that do my weekly commentary on their public service time on their broadcasts. Thank them, because all of us working together have really done a great job bringing the message to the people. And that's been done, as I said a minute ago, by people like Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel, who are volunteers who come on to help the message continue. So guys, thank you so much. First of all, I'd like to say welcome to Larkin Connolly. How are you doing, Larkin?
I'm wonderful this morning, Michael. How are you? Good morning to you and Rich and the whole gang. There's an elephant in the room I wanted to bring up pretty quickly. As you know, I'm a senior vice president of SCORE, and we are totally apolitical. We do not take a political position. So I'm speaking right now on behalf of Larkin Connolly and not the small business initiative that I represent. But I have been fascinated with how the world has handled Donald Trump this week. You know, the Donald came out with, and I am, by the, as an aside, I am not a Donald Trump supporter. If I had to vote tomorrow, I don't think I probably wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. But he came out and he said to everybody, we got a problem. Nobody else, politicians, people running for office, the press, the pundits, nobody has said, you know what, he's right, we do have a problem. What he's saying might not be the way we need to handle that problem, but instead they've decided to attack him. And I think that's really a sad state of affairs, and that's kind of where we are politically in this country right now. You know, he has really opened up a dialogue. And by the way, he hasn't said that he hasn't announced any Hitler tactics. He hasn't talked about internment. He hasn't talked about throwing people out of the country. He just said, let's close our borders until we figure out what the problem is. We're having these incidents of terrorism all too often. Let's fix that problem. And unfortunately, the whole world turned around and looked at him. His own party, the opposition, everybody said, you know, this is unconstitutional. Well, you know what? That's a little bit of a stretch. They've said that this is un-American. Well, we've done it before, and we need to protect our own. And that's all he's saying. Not that he never wants another person of Islamic faith to live in this country safely. He just said, let's stop letting them in until we figure out a way of completely clearing and protecting ourselves. It was the FBI chief 2 weeks ago who said, I can give nobody a guarantee that we are stopping terrorists from entering this country. Well, you know what? We need to fix that. And it's just too bad that the American politicians and people running for office and press and pundits, you know, they took this little suggestion that he made, and they blew it into this thing where he's un-American and it's unconstitutional, and you know, he wants to put them in internment camps. I mean, it just amazes me.
You know, Larkin, you're right, and I will.
I'm not necessarily for Trump. I just think, come on, guys, he opened the door for some dialogue. Why not say I don't like that idea, but how about this? But no, nobody has any answers. Nobody's offering any answers. They don't plan to offer any answers. The guys and gals in office right now, all they want to do is get reelected. And the ones that are running for office, all they want to do is get elected. And if
Larkin, can I?
Yes, sorry, Rich, I know you are waiting patiently.
Why? I didn't say anything Rich is going to agree with.
Well, Larkin, let me feed the elephant, if I may. Couple of things. What I'm going to say should not be construed necessarily by our listeners as who I may or may not be supporting right now. Because as I like to tell people, two things. Number one, why do you care? And number two, I reserve the right to change my mind. Well, a couple things, Larkin. This is usually around the time before an election, presidential election. This is usually right around that time when progressives start rolling out Hitler. Okay? This is around, we're around that time right now. It's amazing to me how few people actually know what the term Nazi really stood for. Because what it actually stood for was the National Socialist Party. That's what the Z represented in Nazi. And what Trump is talking about is not without its historic precedence. Because we can just go all the way back to one of the current progressive heroes, President Carter, who actually temporarily halted the immigration of Iranians to figure out until we got a grip on what the hell was going on. Okay? And how much confidence are we expected to have? And look, Larkin, I'm an independent, and I'm telling people during this election, when people want a two-party system between Democrat and rhinos, which are just Democrat light, we're living with the results of it. We are living today, right now, with the results of this two-party system. So what I'm going to tell people is this. How much confidence am I supposed to have as an independent in what the president and the Congress are doing? 2 days after Obama goes in front of the world and says, ISIS is contained, everything's amazing and incredible and awesome, Paris. San Bernardino happens. All the progressives run out. Workplace violence. Gun control. How much confidence are we supposed to have right now? So whatever, if someone doesn't want to agree with what Trump said, fine. Disagree. But there's no infringement upon religious freedom because we're not talking about Americans. We're talking about people from another place in the world or places. There's no infringement upon people's religious rights here. There's not. So all those that want to disagree with Trump, no problem. The next question, Larkin, you ask him is this. Well, why should I have any confidence right now in the president and Congress? We're watching the whole damn world blow up. I laugh, but it's not really funny. So I just wanted to add that those points. And again, our listeners, Michael, I'm just stating facts. This is not meant to – people should not construe and speak for me who I may or may not be voting. And by the way, Larkin, if you say you won't vote for Trump, that means one of three things. You vote for Clinton, you vote third party, or you stay home.
I'm not doing any of those. So
well, then it's one of – it's got to be one of –
I don't think what I say or what you say has any – has any bearing on whether you who you vote for or who I vote for. It just doesn't make any difference. I'm just opening the floor to some discussion about how mostly the press is handling this Donald Trump issue. I think it's just a violation of the amendment that states we're supposed to have free press. Well, they're not free at all.
Larkin, it's funny to It's funny to listen to progressives talk about the Constitution. I mean, you want to talk about the nightly comedy hour, okay? The nightly comedy hour. Because here's what happens in discussions with progressives about the Constitution. Rich, do you own a gun? They ask me if I own a gun when it comes to the Second Amendment. I say, that doesn't matter. I'm not a journalist. I believe in the freedom of the press. I'm not under any investigation. I believe in the Fifth Amendment. Oh, and by the way, I'm not gay, and I also think that gay marriage passes constitutional muster. So what the hell is the difference whether I own a gun or not? So you guys go and take that to the Constitutional Bank. They need to study up more in the Constitution, and they need to spend less time questioning their gender, okay? So that's what I think. So you guys want to rant? Henry asked me, you want to rant on air? There you go. Mark, how's it going? How you doing?
How you doing, Mark?
So you guys are, you're looking for common sense.
Mark, you said it all. That is what everybody is talking about. Where is the common sense in America? In fact, as I go around, people now agree, after listening to our broadcasts and going to these various job fairs and all, they say to me, Michael, America's difficulties are as a total result of elected leaders, not only national, but local and state leaders who are paid to do a job and are not doing it to represent the people in the communities where they live. How can so much joblessness and poverty and lack of job skills and availability of education to get a job skill be in our schools, be in our society? How is it possible? How do we get those people up the ladder of success? It has to start with the politicians saying, we want all of these technologies returned to the schools. We need those programs so that our people graduate and are able to do something. Taxing people is certainly not the way out of all this. And what Donald Trump is doing, he's putting it out as crudely as possible. And he's getting a lot of press as a result of it. This coming Tuesday, isn't it going to be the debate coming up on TV? I believe it's this coming Tuesday. Well, we'll see what's going to happen. But what Donald Trump has done, and this is wherever I go, people tell me, is he put things on the table that would have never been addressed during this next presidential election if he didn't put them on the table so boldly. Would it be something that the people would like? Maybe put a hold on visas for 1 year until we get our house in order. Maybe not focus on Muslims or whatever. Put it on everybody. Get America's house in order. What are we going to do to help ourselves? Why are we bringing in these H-1B-1 visas where all these people come from countries around the world to take jobs for Americans? Why can't we halt those visas for 2 or 3 years and give the American workers a chance to fill those jobs? Just a thought. Oh. You know, guys, we're in trillions of dollars in debt. 94 million Americans are not in the workforce. And yes, Larkin, everybody I know agrees with you. All politics are local. I agree with you 1,000%. But when it comes to the well-being of our national picture, the taxation, the tariffing, and all that, it comes from the top down. Usually you build a house from the foundation up. But in this situation, it comes from the top down. The national leaders have to say, we are going to do this for businesses. We're going to lower corporate taxes. We're going to promote enterprise zones. We're going to demand that the governors meet with us. None of this happens. I don't ever remember hearing where all 50 governors gathered in the White House or in the Capitol to talk about what are we going to do about getting our jobs back, our small businesses back, our big businesses thriving again.
Well, you've asked a ton of questions, and the best answer that exists right now is for everybody with their heart involved, get behind Mark Andel and what he does. That's all. You have to fight your battles once in a time. And he has really taken this to a local, to the local level that I say is so important. The Buffalo market is buy things made in America is exactly what that ultimately means.
In America, we're supposed to take chances. And Mark, I want to tell you, everybody says to me, Mark Andel has taken a chance. He put his head on a chopping block. And you mentioned that you have 70 employees. Today, people fear about having 7 employees because of all the health care and the matching taxes and workers' compensation and all that. Mark, you took an example of what should and could be done in America and are demonstrating it to the world, to the public here in the USA. But very few people feel that they could take your example because they don't want to file for all the local permits. They don't want to be upfronting the taxes before they open the door. They want to know how much profit you're thinking about making. This is all too much bureaucracy is running our jobs out of town. And what Donald Trump is saying, I'm supporting the best person for the job. I don't know if he's going to be the guy or it'll be someone else. But the fact of the matter is, I want to hear the person talking about what are we going to do to get our job skills programs back in the schools. And Mark, I'll ask you to address this. How are they making out in Buffalo? You're in this field, trying to promote jobs in that area. How are they making it out in Buffalo, promoting the job skill programs, the trades back in your schools?
Yeah, let me. One thing I want to bring up: a manager said to me this week, "You know, with you, Mark, it's not seeing as believing; it's believing as seeing." And I think that's how entrepreneurs work. You know, we believe in something, and we're trying to see it happen. You know, again, my wife, family, team that I've got to make Made in America stores run, we're in our heyday right now. This is the most important time these last, I think we got 16 days of Christmas or so be it. You know, we're seeing change in Buffalo, Mike, with the skilled trades push. And, you know, not quick enough. We do have some of these Alfred Tech guys, these boys we trained over the summer between their one-year and two-year program. They're going to come during their Christmas holiday break and work with us, and we're hoping to get five of six of them. And, they invest and, they dedicate time to general welding and fabricating, so we end up with some good employees. So I think our plan this year is good. I think yesterday I sat in an accounting meeting with our top five managers. We do our year-end kind of punch list, what we have to do before December 31. And it's tough times. You know, you take the last 6, 7, 8 years, very, very tough times, Mike. We talk about it on the radio, but a lot of people don't realize how tough, and next year is going to be a very tough year, not only being an election year, just being, for us, the oil and mining industry is down, which really hurts our manufacturing side, and just generally competence is down. Even though the gas is down at the pump, it gives you a little more disposable income, but people don't have that confidence, and I think that's from the news and the media and Larkin and Rich, what you're talking about. I think Trump, brings up that, where's the common sense here? There are certain things. Shut the border off, come up with a plan, and then we go through. These people aren't coming over with any paperwork. There's no paperwork on what they are. So we got to come up with a plan how to screen them. But there's a lot to this, Mike. I think we're seeing change. I think it's very tough time still. I think the Made in America store and the Made in America movement and mission works. It's an action plan. I don't think, there's a lot of lip service still, and I think Trump's bringing up and changing the whole game, so they're actually talking about things that actually matter today.
And I think what Trump is saying today is going to have long-lasting effects for many, many years in the future. Larkin, time you go somewhere, you have to register. I go to City Hall. I go to public buildings, private buildings. I have to sign in. I have to show my driver's license. I have to show some ID to show that I am really going to the place that I wrote on the paper that I'm going to. Why is this so hard to understand about people wanting to come to America? Let's take a little bit of time to vet people, to see what skills they have to offer. Are they coming here to work? Are they coming here to slouch? Are they coming here to take advantage? I think people want to know that. Yes, Larkin, sorry.
Well, no, that's okay. Trump is, and again, I'm not a Trump supporter. I promise I'm not. I'm watching the landscape right now, trying to figure out. My wife calls me a recovering Republican. But the thing that that amazes me is that Donald Trump is creating a dialogue that nobody else wants to have. That's the issue. It's not what he's saying. It's not how he's saying it. Because, listen, he is one step short of dropping the F-bomb. He is. And he's to get attention. That's just the way he is. He's just on natural. I'm not a great proponent of his, but it's amazing that he is saying to everybody, we have to have a dialogue about this. It's broken. It's not working. We need to fix it. And here's what I'm proposing. People automatically go to the vitriolic conversation that says he's not American. He wants to ruin the country. They won't sit down and say, listen, we do have a problem. Donald Trump is correct. We have a problem, and here's how we need to fix that. Current administration doesn't have a plan. Congress doesn't have a plan. Senate, nobody has a plan. Nobody anywhere has a plan that they can come up with that would give the American public the slightest bit of confidence that we are protecting ourselves. And I don't know how many more incidents. 14 to 80, how many people in France? 87 people killed. I don't know how many more of those incidents are going to happen worldwide before we just understand the beast and we find out where the beast is and we go fix the beast.
Well, Larkin, kill evil. This is my earlier point, though, about where is the confidence coming from that I should have? Where is it coming from? 2 days after ISIS is contained, Paris, San Bernardino, gun control, workplace violence. I mean, do the loonies that are saying that, see, here's the problem, guys. They're either that dumb or they're that dangerous. And either way, we lose. Because no matter how you slice and dice all of these different issues, Michael, whether it's about politics or radicals or the economy, and we have to continue doing it. The point that we have to keep stressing and emphasize is the one directly in line, Larkin, with what you say a lot about commerce and politics being local. Ultimately, we're the ones, right, the electorate and the consumers are ultimately the ones who have the potential to influence things. And when the media goes on and on and on and on about the fact that Trump is bottling up and tapping into a lot of the anger that voters feel, it's interesting that they don't ever seem to talk about the fact that the majority of people who go to Bernie Sanders rallies, and he gets big rallies. He gets really, really big rallies. See, the media doesn't really talk too much about the fact that you got a lot of quote-unquote angry people at Sanders' rallies. The only difference is most of those people are just fake outragers. They drive around in $100,000 gas-guzzling SUVs with a Save the Earth Down with Capitalism bumper sticker. And the way that they deal with their fake outrage is go home and smoke a doobie and color their hair with Minute Maid. Okay? So, yeah, there's a lot of pissed-off people. And a lot of the pissed-off people that are in our country right now, Michael, they're business owners, they work, they follow the law even when they don't agree with it, they watch these trade deals, pay their taxes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of independents like us, I'm going to say all of us, I don't care, Larkin, recovering Republican, we're all, you know, I'm going to give us all here the credit that regardless of what our political party affiliation is, that we can all look at a candidate and vote candidate, not party. But, yeah, there are a lot of pissed-off people that have an understandable feeling that we're just giving this thing away.
You're right, Rich. And you know, what I have to tell you is, working in historic Philadelphia, I see, I have a lot of contact, and I see people, and I talk to them about what they feel about their visit to America. These are foreign people who are coming as tourists. And they say they had a different view of America before they came. But when they came, they were surprised to see the amount of poverty, the amount of unemployment, violence, and homelessness in America, right in the historic district area within a mile radius. And they said, I didn't realize this, nor did our travel guides, you know, ever present that, but you're going to a great place, you're going to see all the historic sites and blah, 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 blah. But when they come here, they have a different thinking of America. It's not lined with gold. There is a lot of empty stores. There are people in need of jobs. There are beggars on the street. There are homeless veterans with signs standing on the highways asking for some help. This is not America, and it's not the American people that the foreigners have thinking that in their homeland, I'm going to America, the greatest place on earth. Now, those visitors can see that. What the hell is it going to take to wake up the national leaders of America? They can't see it. They're making appropriations in Washington to put money into all. I don't know if this is true, but I heard announced the other day that 71% of every dollar in America is spent on debt service and also on programs to help people through unemployment compensation and all these other programs that are should be helping people to get to a job, but they're not doing it because there is no unemployment, so you can't send people to a place that's closed. And that's the sad part of what we're up against. Yes.
Isn't that sad, Mike? I mean, you're bringing tourists can recognize what's going on, but our politicians a lot of times can't because they've lost contact. They don't live paycheck to paycheck. I just think there's such a big disconnect from Washington to the average person that's trying to contribute and be an American and live the dream. You know, again, you bring it up. It's just they've got to start small, and this common sense or lack of knowing what it takes to buy the simple, milk and groceries.
That's right. And, you know, when people and lots of people come to historic Philadelphia, the tour groups they visit from all through Europe, China, other Asian nations, and they all often say, well, how did it happen? How did it happen in America? In fact, we have groups that come and they want to show you, the tour guide wants to show you all sides of how it is to live in America. And there is one particular tour guide who brings business people over, and he says, yes, there's a lot of unemployment in America. They have not directed their energy into new technologies, so forth and so on. They go into historic Philadelphia, then he takes them on the L, what we call the L in Philadelphia. It's the train. He takes them from 5th and Market Street to Bridge and Pratt. And he says, I'm not saying a word. Sit down on the L. It's like a train. And tell me what you think when you come back. And they said, wow, the infrastructure of America needs a lot of work. That's the problem. We see that other people recognize the problems, and they're here for 10 days or 2 weeks. Our politicians, as long as they're paid and their needs, their drivers and everything else are all paid with our tax dollars, they don't care. It's just business as usual. It became all about them, not about the people that they represent and the people who are paying the taxes. What do you think, Larkin?
I think you hit the nail right on the head. I don't think there's any question that the bottom line is accountability. The politicians today and government employees and department heads and stuff aren't held accountable. There's no accountability. They do whatever they do. I talked to somebody that I know very well the other day. We were just rambling on about a handful of things, and we mentioned another individual who we knew, and he said, oh, no, he's out on disability. I said, what do you mean he's out on disability? Well, he's out on disability. He's, he pulled a muscle of some sort in his back, and so how long is he out? And he said, well, he's been out 2 weeks. He's out six more. He gets 2 months disability, full pay, to go home and sit on his duff. And well, I guess he got a doctor's note. But imagine that happening in the free enterprise world. And somebody who I had a touch of an argument with about this very point said, that's what's wrong with free enterprise. And I thought, well, you can't battle that. How do you battle that?
You know, Larkin, there many of the tourists, when they come, they tell me, possibly, I know you're going to love this, possibly in America, the two-party system is too restrictive. It's the same old, same old. Now, I will tell you why that particular thing comes up. We go into some of the countries in Europe, and when the Europeans come here, they say, well, I'll tell you, after, you know, especially gaining independence after communism, they say maybe our country has more. It's why we're growing. We have more possibilities. Number one, we have 20 parties in the country. The 20 parties represent, say, the Miners' Party, the Agricultural Party, the Solidarity Party, the Northern Party. It's all sorts of parties. It's like our unions in America, in other words, but they all have a place at the table. They have their higher leadership, which means the people who got the most people in the parliament are bigger speakers. The other guys are smaller, speakers in the House. But they all have a place at the table, and all items must be discussed on the agenda. In other words, you put your idea on the agenda, and it cannot be brushed away. Unfortunately, they say, after looking at America, they say, well, maybe you should have 4 to 6 or 8 parties at least. That way, you have 4, 6, or 8 people discussing items at the table, and then you know at least not one side or the other is going to control everything. So, Larkin, what do you say to that?
Well, I'm not sure that I agree that it's the partisan setup in the country, 2 parties, 3 parties, 5 parties. I think a third or a fourth party would really struggle, and they have struggled in the past trying to be developed. It's just a really tough mountain to scale, and I think the only way you're going to come up with a third party that's going to be doable is to come up with that individual who it's more him than it is the party, and he's the one that represents, you know, the success that's going to be appreciated. It's going to be the man instead of the party.
Now, you know, Mark, Rich, and Larkin, and our listeners, right now in America, we have the Democrats, the Republicans, and an unbelievably large independent party. In fact, there might even be more independents than Republicans and Democrats in many states. Do you know that to be a fact, Rich?
Here's what I'm going to tell you that I think, okay? Sorry, my internet's a little bit slow. AT&T just bumped me up 15% cost, but didn't bump up 15% faster speed. So there you go. Screw you, AT&T, okay? This downtime is because of AT&T. I just want to make that clear. There you go. That's the infamous Clinton cackle, Michael. That's what I think. Okay, could you hear that? Henry, our audio engineer, could you guys hear that?
Yep. We got it.
This is the time of year Larkin and I start to really lose my mind. Michael, I'm going to cite 2 prior guests of ours, Nick Troiano and John Runyon. John Runyon, former Congressman Runyon, had a great point when he came on, and he said, term limits exist, they're in the form of an election. Totally understand, totally agree with him on this point, but I'm in favor of real term limits. Okay, so I'll cite that point for our listeners to remind them. The other, our other guest, Nick Troiano, when we had him on last year running for Congress, and he talked about as an independent, required more signatures to get on the ballot. Ultimately, the voters still made their decision. Congressman Tom Marino of that district was reelected. So again, it always, the common denominator in all of this, Maine, America, political influence, real progress, it always comes back down, guys, to us. So Larkin, I don't sit here and say we need a fifth or a tenth or a 50th party, just like I don't walk around Miami and say we need 10 Mexican restaurants and 6 Cuban restaurants. No, the free market is going to, and innovation is going to go and contribute to that. Okay, so real diversity is obtained when you pursue excellence. When you pursue excellence, diversity takes care of itself. Okay, ultimately. So if our elections could start to move in a direction where we don't always get it wrong, but if it moved and started to, again, real progress, move in a direction, guys, where it took on more of a form of a little bit more of a free market, this is where all the anger that I do think is coming from right now. Because I think what this election is at this point showing is stuff is boiling to the point where you've got independents, maybe people belong to political parties, but more and more and more, I really think that people are starting to take their heads out of the sand and start to openly question, is there really much of a difference between these two parties when you've got the Democrats and the rhinos, the Democrat light? And that's what's starting to, right now, I think, guys, come to the surface. And if that is the case, I think that's a good thing, ultimately, because that actually is in line with how a free enterprise market should work, because now you've got demand. You've got more demand that's going to get created. So what happens from there and from here, guys, of course, we don't know. But I do think it's happening. There are a lot, Larkin, there are a lot of independents and conservatives whom I know personally who didn't even come out in 08 and 012. They didn't. They didn't even come out to vote. And if next year's turnout is a big one, of course, there are certain candidates we don't want to see elected. But if it's a big turnout next year and this awakening, Michael, that I think people are having, where they're starting to understand that their indifference and inaction does influence the outcome, I see these as positives. This is just my opinion. I speak for myself. But I do think they're positive.
So the thing that kind of disgusts me is that you say a big turnout. What does that mean to you, Rich?
Well, better than 50 and 60. And if I want to swing for the fences, Larkin, I mean, if we hit 80, call the Vatican, because a miracle occurred in America.
Call the Vatican.
Get the Pope back in Philadelphia. If we hit, I mean, Larkin, if we hit 80, oh my! I mean, it would be like I would run out in the streets and celebrate like Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life. I would go and do it. But 50, 60, our midterms last year were 34%. 66% of the eligible electorate stayed home to watch a nightly televised karaoke contest hosted by a washed-up, talentless has-been.
Well, you know, quite frankly, guys, because too many elected officials don't have any competition to worry about, their job becomes just a job. They really don't care. And I see that and I hear that directly from them. But when it becomes a competition, well, it might be a little better. That's why I mentioned before, 3, 4, maybe even 5 parties. You have right now 3 major registrations in the country. Independent, you also have the Democrats and the Republicans. When I was looking one day on the political parties in America, I saw there was the Libertarians. And I did you know, guys, that there is the Marijuana Party?
Did you know, Mike, I started the American Party?
Well, let me say this to you. A small businessman told me, he said to me, why don't you mention the Small Business Party? Larkin, the Small Business Party. All small businesses start pushing these national elected leaders to start walking on their side of the street, or they have enough small businesses. I mean, we have millions of small businesses in America. They could get out and do their job and get them out of office. It's true. They do have term limits if the people go out and vote. But yeah, because they had no competition, they don't care. They collect the money every week. They have the drivers. They have the secretaries. They have the golf club memberships, the whole deal. They don't care. And the people like Mark is committing suicide to make sure his 70 people are well taken care of. He's looking for products to be 100% made in America. He's doing all the right things. And these people who have the power to make right things happen are doing nothing.
Well, there's no question. There's no question of that. And the problem is that we are so, as a country, I'm not going to pull any punches. We as a country have become so fat, so lazy, so unmotivated, so cared for, so confident that no matter what happens, we can go get a check somewhere.
Right.
That we don't vote. We don't exercise the one a process that we have that allows everybody to say, I do like what's happening or I don't like what's happening. And everybody gives you that old, well, what's my vote today? My vote is going to
That's right. You're right. In fact, Larkin, This has been going on now for about 6 years. We've been pushing American made. Look at all the work that Mark Endel has done there to make sure his stuff in Buffalo moves around and his local manufacturers are taken care of. If I asked each one of you right now for $1 million, who is the person most respected on a national level that we can direct all these questions to? Larkin, who is that guy?
Wow. What's the question again?
The question is, who is the guy leading the cause of jobs returning, small businesses opening, more small businesses being able to keep community vibrant in their communities? Who is the guy on a national level that I can point to right now?
Well, unfortunately, I don't know anybody that's doing it better than me.
Well, that's right. But you're not elected and you're not paid. You don't have a chauffeur. You're not in the massage parlor 3 times a week down in Washington. They have everything. Underground caves and you name it. They walk around. It's unbelievable. Rich, who is the person you could say, Michael, you got to call him today?
Well, you know, Michael, when you qualified it with an elected official, I was gonna come right out and just say Mark Endel. I mean, I really was. And you know, Mark, if you maybe one day, Mark, you know, you'll run.
And the American Made Party. I'm ready to do it. Let's do it.
And this is such a thing that, and you know, Larkin, you hit on this point, and I got to say, I'm in full agreement with you on this, that we can get behind this, and Mark, you're pioneering it. You know, and you know, we've had others, guys, who have been on, who are supporters of our show. You know, you have Mike Sessions in California, Go for USA, three-year anniversary, just celebrated his third-year anniversary with his app for consumers to find American-made goods. And Mark, you're one of the guys pioneering this. So much so to the point that eventually, publicly, I'm going to announce a project, something I've been working on this year, that Mark has really directly inspired. You guys on the show know about it, but I haven't said to the public. Don't worry, it's something legal, Michael. You know, if Homeland Security calls you, just, you know, let him know.
What's fun is that? Legal.
You know, I'm not quite ready to start the American Revolution Part 2, but we're getting there. So it's nothing like that. So, Mike, elected.
That's strange. Now, here you are, a person involved, a person who worked in the press, in the media. Here's a person. You're a person who's on a radio program. You speak to people in your community. Larkin is out and about with SCORE issues, and Mark is doing his thing to keep his people on the job and expand his brand. And not one of us can say this is the man for the job. That's a difficult thing to understand. Political leaders love to talk. When they talk this coming week, when they have the debate, I think it's the 15th, they're going to say, we want to bring jobs. Oh, we want jobs. What exactly type of jobs do you mean? I'll tell you what kind of jobs America needs. We need a job in every category of manufacturing, of service economy, of advertising, everything that's possible that was in America for 100 years has to be returned to America. That's wonderful that other countries have gone into new technologies. They're doing wonderful. Nobody's arguing about anything coming to this country. We can get 50-50 balance what's sold in our stores. You got the happiest person on earth in Michael Blihash. But the problem is, as people go out and I go out and I speak directly to people, they tell me, Michael, it's hard to find anything American made in our stores. How did this happen? And I say, well, where were you all these years? Why didn't you speak up before?
Mike, wouldn't it be a great question at the next debate?
Well, you that's know, right.
Questions. Who believes in buy and made in America products and the effects on the economy? I mean, boom.
Now, right, you know what? You just brought something up, Mark. They usually say they take tweets from the people. Rich, can we depend on you to tweet over to the...
I've got a great Twitter handle.
Let's get that question in.
Let's get that question in.
Oh,
I'd love to see what they're all going to say. I want to hear what the Republicans have to say, the Democrats, and I'd like to see some independents come forward. Have their own discussion. Let's see what these people have to offer. Why is there so much pussyfooting around? Bring the independents here to Philadelphia. I'll host the Democrats, the Republicans, and the independents. Come right over. We have the Constitution Center, Visitor Center. We'll all walk to Independence Hall. Let's go wild. But
it might be too simple, Mike. It might be too simple. Made yeah. America Matters. That might be too easy.
Well, the people are beginning to show their strength by what they do. Yes, they're saying, oh, the economy is getting better. More people are in the job force and all. It's true. It's the holiday season. Many more people have been put into jobs. They've been in the training since October the 1st, in the programs so that they are able to move the inventory. My thing is go to the malls, go to the stores, the local stores, the big stores. The people are not spending because on an unemployment check, on a disability check, or no check at all, you can't spend money, period.
You know what an entrepreneur does? Well, government's going to take their break for the holidays. We plan our first quarter out so we can survive.
That's right. That's right. Now, could you imagine if we said on the next debate, and Richie, you could possibly do this, you put this up as a Twitter, no more money gets put into any program until we have a job for every person in America that needs a job. No more of your pet projects, the bridge to nowhere and all this other nonsense that they put up over the years. All this was money pissed down the drain. And then they say, well, he's a very distinguished senator. He wanted it. You know, it's a legacy. It's his bridge and all. We don't need that. There should be competition. And by the way, foreign aid, wherever I go, people bitch terrible about the foreign aid. Why are we giving people annual foreign aid? They have not even sent us a proposal as to what they're going to do with the foreign aid money.
Well, Michael, I'll tell you that and I'm going to say this with a little bit of source of pride. I'm up to 36 people who have verbally pledged to me that they will get registered and go and vote next year. I was a jury duty last week and proselytized a couple people. I was sitting there really hoping for OJ Part 2 because I'm thinking, like, damn, I could use a good book deal. You know, so I'm sitting here like, oh, man, maybe we get, if not OJ, maybe we get the Menendez brothers.
Was there free coffee, Rich?
A couple of rich twins who went crazy and then, you know, wanted to collect the life insurance. So I wasn't lucky enough, but I did my duty. I believe in, you know, trial by a jury of our peers. So I went and served. And, Michael, you know what? With some pride, I say it. 36 people. And that's drop in the bucket. I understand. But for better or for worse, guys, you know, I tell people this is both incredibly exciting and frightening beyond belief, but I really believe that we're living right now in historic times.
We are.
I sometimes you don't realize it when you're living in the period, and then in hindsight and retrospectively you look back. I just think I believe it. I believe we're living in historic times right now, and I think that there were certain values and certain foundations of our country, I do believe, are under siege right now. I do really believe that. And so it's going to start first and foremost with all of us and what we do. And, you know, Mark, you've got a vision. And, Larkin, you've got a vision for your business owners. And Henry does. And, Michael, you do. I mean, Michael, your voice sounds strained today, so that tells me you probably – you know, we're ranting and raving the store owners. I always joke when store owners see Michael coming, they don't walk, they run. Okay?
That's good. That means they're...
Tihosh is coming. Don't walk,
oh,
run.
God, not that guy again. Here he is. Let me drop down to the floor and say, like, I dropped something. It's unbelievable. But you know what? If I can make that kind of impression, that kind of point, everybody listening, everybody in the USA can go out of their way to do it.
And so let me tell you why what Rich did is very, very good. There's an element in life called, a process in life called pay it forward. If everybody that Rich got, the 36 people, commit themselves to voting, and they can go out and get
a person, just a person, to say, yeah, if you're going to vote, I'll vote. And then those 36 times 36 times 36 times 36, then it starts a movement that has some real true bite. So don't sell short what you've done by convincing a handful of people that it's time to go out and vote. If they truly believe in what you said and have decided that they are going to stand behind their word and commit to vote, they're going to get at least one person to follow their way. And it just mushrooms. And there was a movie several years ago called Pay It Forward, in which the young boy in the movie decides that he is going to help somebody that helped him, and he showed the multiplication of everybody helping three people and how it in a very, very short time, there were an awful lot of people that were helping each other. So don't sell that short.
Larkin, thank you so much. Mark, thank you so much. And Rich, thank you so much. I'm glad we had this conversation, because everywhere I go, people talk about the need to get a fire under the elected officials so that we can get people in every local, statewide, and national office to start carrying our banner of let's get it made in America, let's get more small businesses and people employed. I want to say thank you again to all of you listening. You will receive, if you're on our email list, you'll receive an updated version of today's program. Please do send it around to family members and friends. This is a special time of year. Please go out and shop, and don't forget Mark Andel. I will acknowledge all of our advertisers each day this week and on Saturday as well. Remember, Mark Andel has 100% of all of his items made in the USA. Check him out at madeinamericastore.com. Until I see you on Friday, Saturday at some events, and also at 11 a.m. here on 860, or Sunday when I'm in Manayunk and Roxborough, my best wishes to everyone. Have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spreading the word. Go out and buy American Made. God bless.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great week, guys, and thanks for your support.